This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody. Lindsay Hine here. Welcome to my podcast. Okay, this episode is a little bit different. It's a book club episode. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, which my Instagram is LindsayHine626, if you want to follow over there, you probably know that I'm doing a monthly book club. I am a big reader myself, and people often ask me for book recommendations, and I thought, what the heck, I'm just going to do a little book club. And the book for February we picked was called Love Me by Jessica Saunders, and that was a fun, lightish, and easy read, super engaging. And we picked that because January, our book was Demon Copperhead, and that was a really intense book. So this was a nice change and left you with lots to think about as well. So when Jessica, the author, offered to join us for book club, I thought, let's record this. And it went really well. She was so fun to talk to. It was so fun to learn about her life and how she became an author and how she wrote the book. I think you're really gonna love this one. Jessica is a lawyer by trade, and she's had a lifelong love for reading and writing. In the spring of 2021, she experienced an unthinkable loss, one of her very close friends, and decided, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna write this book. I'm gonna do what I love. She's gonna talk about that in the episode as well. So kick back, enjoy this episode. At the end, we've got some listener Q&As, which was really fun as well. If you want to support Jessica, I love supporting authors. You can pick up her book. Everything we talk about and the book is in the show notes at sandyboyproductions.com. And you can learn more about her at jessicasaundersbooks.com. Before the podcast begins, I just want to tell you, if you're looking for a great pillow, look no further than Lagoon. Lagoon Sleep has the most comfortable, best pillows that are fit exactly for you. You take a 2-minute sleep quiz, they match you up, and I'm telling you, you're going to be like, where's this been my whole life? Go to lagoonsleep.com/Lindsay and use the code Lindsay, L-A-N-D-S-E-Y, for 15% off your purchase. All right, friends, enjoy my conversation with Jessica Saunders. All right. This is our first book club that we're actually recording for a podcast. And we are joined today with Jessica Saunders, the author of Love Me, which was such a fun, fast, exciting read. I loved it so much. Thanks for joining us, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me, Lindsay. So glad you liked it.
Okay. Jessica, this is your debut novel. I am so excited for you. And for those listening who might not know, Annabelle Monahan, I had her on Why Is Everyone Yelling podcast after I read. So I had surgery and my neighbor brought over 3 books, and one of them was Nora Goes Off Script. And it was one of my favorite books I read last year. Just such a happy, easy read. And so I kind of have stayed in touch with Annabelle on Instagram, and she's always posting all these pictures of these women authors that's supporting each other. And so I was like, hey, I need a light, fun, easy read for February. And she's like, got it. This is your book. And it was Love Me by Jessica Saunders. So maybe, and if you guys haven't listened to that episode with Annabelle on Why Is Everyone Yelling, I recommend it. She is like witty and smart and just a really fun conversation. But Jessica, debut novel. You are a lawyer by trade. Tell us about your life and how you even decided, like, I'm going to write my first book.
So, yes, thank you so much. I love Annabelle. She's just truly the best. What's nice about being an author, a debut author, is that there's such an unbelievably welcoming community of authors out there. And Annabelle is someone who I've long admired, and I approached her, and I took her. I went to one of her book events, and then she agreed to meet me for coffee, which was amazing. Gave me lots of advice, and then she actually read and blurbed my book, which was just kind of the dream. So she's been a real support for me. So I'm thrilled to be here and appreciative of that. Yeah. So I am a lawyer, and I'm still practicing as a lawyer. But writing is something that I've always wanted to do. Ever since I was always a reader, so book clubbing is makes me so happy, because I really am just someone who's always sort of had my hand. I've always had a book with me wherever I go, and ever since I was a kid. And so I think, like a lot of readers, I always wondered if I had a book in me, and I always hoped that I would. I did do some writing in college, and then, you know, I'm a litigator, so because of that area of law, I do a lot of writing as well. So, but obviously fiction is really a different beast altogether, but it was something I'd long dreamed of.
Yeah, I read on your website that you lost one of your close friends, and that was kind of like the kick in your butt you needed to go ahead and follow your dreams. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's hard, because I'll say it's a little bit of a gift in the course of you know, talking about my book, that I can bring my friend Suzanne, who I lost sadly just after she and I both turned 40. But I can, like, kind of, she's part of this experience, which has been so incredible for me. She was sick, and we were super close, and we went to college together, and she was really a big part of my life for over 20 years. And when we lost her, my friend group and I were like, how can we emulate Suzanne? She was just the most warm and giving and loving person, but she also went after everything she wanted to, like singing at open mic nights and creating this whole nursery school for kids during COVID. She was just an unbelievable person and just the most sort of inspiring and loving friend. And so I think, because I had said for so many years that I wanted to write a book, and I mean, like, if someone would say, what do you do for a living? I would say, I'm a lawyer, but what I really want to do is write. Like, it was just like there, but I just did nothing about it. I think something hit me where I was like, if I'm ever going to do this, it's now is the time. You know, I realize we don't know where things are going to go. You know, life can be short, and I felt like very much like it was the right path for me. So I was immediately inspired, and I signed up for a writing class soon after, and that got me on my journey.
You've been writing though for a long time. Like, tell us about your column. And
yeah, it's so funny. I, like, none of my college friends were surprised that I did this. So I wrote a sex column for the Cornell Daily Sun way back when. And I mean, it was really like, I mean, now I think about it, like, thank God, you know, it wasn't like internet time, you know, like I would be so mortified if it was out there now the way that it was then. But it was a really, you know, like, such a fun experience. You know, I would write, like, I took a bunch of writing classes in college, and I wrote for my high school paper, but this was like the first time I really put myself out there in that way. And I loved it so much. So it just kind of hung in the back of my mind. And then when I had to write a sex scene, it felt a little bit more like I was a little more comfortable with it probably than the average bear. Cause I feel like I'd already sort of exposed that side of myself, you know, all those years ago.
I asked Annabelle that same question about the sex scenes. I was like, were you embarrassed about, like, who was going to read that and, like, know that you were, like, writing those things so they came from your head? How do you feel about, like, if your mother-in-law reads it?
Right.
Or your grandma.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's definitely a strange feeling. And I very vividly remember writing that scene because there's a couple of sex scenes in the book, and one of them is kind of sweet. It's a losing your virginity scene. And, mm-hmm. and I felt like that was kind of fun to write because it was really kind of going back to just like what I remember of that experience, but also like just trying to capture that innocence and the love that they felt at that time. But then the present day sex scene. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely it's a little bit embarrassing. Like I have a 12-year-old daughter and I gave her a copy of the book and I like taped down like post-it notes over all the pages that I didn't want her to read. And then when she was done with the book and she loved it. And then when she finished the book, I handed the same copy to my dad. And I was like, this is the version for you. But you know, it's out there and you just have to roll with it.
This is, I guess, more for the book clubbers. Jessica, did you read Demon Copperhead?
You know what's funny? My husband is reading it and I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
He's reading it so slowly and I'm just like waiting to take it from him. I know I have to. I mean, yeah. Did you guys like it? It's obviously very different from my book.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I brought it up is because there's a losing your virginity scene in that book too. That is
no
like
way.
So different. Like it is a very like tragic, like sad story. And like your scene in this is so beautiful. I think everybody liked it. Did you all like that book? We all needed like, well, it's funny though, because I think most of us said we wanted this like happy, like more uplifting, like easy read. And then somebody responded, I don't remember who, and was like, I don't think I can go from that to that. Like they couldn't go to like a light book. And I thought, yep. Oh, really? Because that's what I'm craving right now.
Yeah. Sometimes you need that, like the palate cleansers and, you know, but even like, it's funny because my book, it's like light, but then, you know, hopefully makes you think a little bit too. So, but it's, I mean, a totally different category for sure than that one.
It definitely made me think. And I feel like I am at the age that, remind me of the names of the characters because it was like 6 weeks ago that I read.
Sure.
It.
Rachel is the mom. Uh-huh. Rachel and Dan are married, and Jack is the, Jack Bellow is the actor.
Okay. Yes, I'm the same age as Rachel. And I think when you've been married for this long, like things can get kind of fragile. And like, so when I was reading it, I was like feeling very protective of Dan. And then I was like, then you find out that he sold everything and you're like, well, what an asshole, you know? I'm curious. You're married, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm curious, like being a married person writing this and then like, you know, with the ending being what it is, like how did that feel and what did your husband think of like, I'm sure you talked about the story as you were writing it. Like what did he think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's Rachel and I are really different, obviously, but I think I and then all of my friends relate to this idea that, you know, if you're in your 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, like you have kids and your life, it's very much like, you know, getting from point A to point B. Like, you know, we're managing just like so much, like our jobs and our kids' schedules. And then I do think like marriages sometimes can like, it can be to the detriment of like those relationships and sort of it loses its like it's not always as much of a priority as it needs to be. And I stand behind that Rachel and Dan were fine. Like I think they would have been potentially like okay because I mean maybe not, you know, I mean there were problems in their marriage. So I think what's nice for my husband is that one, I certainly didn't have a high school boyfriend who turned into this gorgeous, famous actor. So there was like no real conflict there. But also, you know what? Like, we're pretty good. We're pretty egalitarian about sharing responsibilities with the house and with the kids. And he would argue that he's cleaner than me and does more laundry, and he'd probably be right. So that, like, that helped for sure, because it wasn't, it was still very much not my relationship. But I think in writing this, I wanted women of our age group to feel like kind of seen. You know, I think it's really hard to manage all of the things that women today have to manage. And so that was really an important component to the book for me.
Has anybody read, or Jessica, have you read the book Fair Play?
Yes. Eve Rodsky's book?
Yeah. I actually just interviewed
her. She's amazing.
Okay. I just listened to it on Audible, and I interviewed her last week sometime. The episode's not out yet, but I was thinking about your book a lot, and as I was listening to it on Audible, because I remember, like, you talked about that with Rachel quite a bit. Had you read that book before, or did you read it during research or anything?
No. I've only become aware of that more recently. And I think it's because I read about the cards, you know, that she has, where, and I haven't gotten them, but it speaks to me, because I think so much of, and I mean, it's not to judge my friends' marriages, but I think a lot of the times, like, women just take on so much, you know, and it's so difficult. And so I love this concept of, like, being more fair about it and sharing, you know, sharing the load and divvying up the responsibilities and in you know, that in that fair way. So no, it's something, and I think that Rachel would have benefited from that place for sure, because she was just like, I gotta do it all.
Dan needed to read Fair Play too.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Do you feel bad for Dan?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, you know, you write a book and you become attached to your characters, and part of the reason why I wrote on, like, the dual timeline of the book is because I wanted people to understand, like, why Rachel fell for Dan originally. Like, he was fun, and he brought out, like, a lightness, I think, in Rachel that she needed. And I think he was a good dad, and, like, he, you know, and he loved her and she loved him, and they had chemistry, and there was a lot of positives to Dan. And I think he lost his way. But I think he made some just terrible, terrible mistakes that I also would not have been able to get over. So I sympathized with him in that. Like, I think, you know, Rachel could be hard on him. But at the end of the day, like, I was really invested in her journey and, like, her standing on her own.
Did you have any actors in mind when you were thinking of Jack?
Oh, Jack. I think, you know, I always sort of visualize, like, a Ryan Reynolds type, because he just seems like a really nice guy, but also, like, gorgeous and, you know. But now I almost feel like, you know, it's funny, like, the Rachel person is the real star of whatever this is, you know. And so I'm always interested, actually. Like, I go to gone to a bunch of book clubs, and this question comes up, and I'm always so curious, like, what the reader has in their mind.
Yeah. Does anybody want to hop in and have someone that they think? Because I can't think. I can't tell if anybody's about to.
I don't
unmute.
Think so. That's okay. It's good. Hopefully I created, like, characters that.
Well, like, to me, Rachel, I'm like, because, like, when I think about, like, Hollywood celebrities, I'm, like, thinking about these, like, really done up, like, gorgeous women. And I'm like, Rachel was gorgeous, but I'm, like, trying to think of who is someone that is, like, a little more everyday.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was picturing.
Yeah. No, I know. I think so, too. She's, like, she's meant to be a real woman.
Alyssa, did you have one?
Yeah. Well, as you just said that, I was just thinking of, like, Abby Jacobson from Broad City. Because she's, like, a little bit more, like, she's the more uptight friend, the more, like, you know, concerned about how things go and having a plan. And just, like, that seems kind of like the vibe of what Rachel is.
I love that show so much.
I have to look her up. Why don't I know who that is? But now
Broad
that
City is her and Alana Glazer. It's just so funny. It's a really great show. There were only a few seasons.
A quick break here to tell you about the waterless skincare products that I personally have been using, and I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with them. I like want to wash my face 3 times a day because I love how it makes my skin feel. These products are preservative free and they deliver results. My favorite Olivetta products, this is by Olive Tree People, are the Green Retinol Serum, the Vitamin C Serum. I love their Purifying Cleanser, the Honey Enzyme Mask, and then last but not least, the Anti-Aging Face Cream. Those are the 5 products that if I'm going to get any products from them, that's what I'm going to get. I have a link in the show notes at lindseyhine.com if you want to check it out. Here's the deal. Clean skincare, and if you get in on like the retinol and the vitamin C serum and all that, it's freaking expensive no matter what you buy if you're buying clean products. And these are the best products I've found. I used to use Beauty Counter, and these are the products that I'm using now, and I love them so much more. I think it's because they're not water-based. Such a strange concept, but apparently water-based skincare just isn't as effective, and this is waterless skincare. It's a European brand, and you know that in Europe, they're way ahead of us on the clean beauty products situation. So go to sandyboyproductions.com. There's a link in the show notes to the 5 products I mentioned, which are my favorites. Those are the 5 I'm sticking to because it is expensive. And I'm like, I'm just going to do these 5 products. That's going to be my routine. And then if you follow me on Instagram, lindseyhine626, I have a link to it in my profile as well. Cool. Check it out. Let me know what you think. I think it's like the next big thing. I think it's going to be like what Beauty Counter was 4 years ago. People are raving, including myself. And the other one more thing about it, sometimes I feel like I don't even have to put makeup on because once I put the serums and moisturizer on, my face just feels like glowing and healthy. So a lot of times before an interview, I'll just wash my face and do all the serums and the face cream, and I feel awake and ready to go. Again, sandyboyproductions.com is where you can find all that. All right, back to the show. So did you know like ahead of time who she was going to end up with, or did that play out as you wrote the story?
I think I had a sense of the fantasy element sort of winning the day, but it really did come out in the, you know, in the drafting. And I remember like I sort of knew where it was going to go, but then the ending, that last scene really came to me, and like this like moment where I was actually walking my mom through the plot of the book that I, you know, I was like, I'm working on this thing, and I walked her through everything, and then I was like, oh, I know exactly what I want to happen. And that was like, it's really fun. I mean, that's what I love so much about writing, which, you know, it's such a surprise because it's not something I'd done before. And I just like, when I started to tackle this, I was like, wow, I love it. You know, it was really joyful. And sort of like images were coming in my head, and I was just typing, you know, you just like going with it. So a lot of the story unfolded as I went. A lot comes in the editing process, which is its own like total beast, but really like a, you know, it's just like a really cool experience to see your work start, you know, from a seed of an idea and turn into like a full on book. But so it kind of like unfolded itself to me, but I am a planner, and I did have a general idea of, you know, where this was going to go.
I was going to be kind of sad if she ended up with Dan, even though like for my own marriage, I wanted her to be with Dan. but like for the story, I was like, that's not fun.
No, I know. And it's interesting too. I've been surprised by so many people saying that they were surprised by the book, like where it ended. And like, I guess people weren't sure what she was going to do. And which I love hearing, because that means that like, you know, people were invested and it, you know, unfolded in a more surprising way. But I've definitely heard most people are happy, I think, with the way it ended. A lot of people ask me for a second book because they want to know more about what happens. But you know, I like the the possibility of it all.
Wait, would you do a second book?
Well, I would. You know, it's funny. Obviously, you need to have a lot of people, I'm imagining, invested in you and your book and like want to read a sequel. Yeah. Certainly, I think there's a lot of stories that could be told about Rachel, Jack, Cassandra, Alex, all the characters. Like, there's definitely stuff there that would be fun to go back in and explore. But it's not like my next project. But tell people to read the book, and then more and more, maybe they'll ask for me to write another.
Yeah, no. What do you think about that? Like, what do you think about lawyering versus writing and like where your life is going? Just, are you in a waiting period? I know with books, my sister's read a couple books, like you get your like deal and then you're like, okay, how are sales going? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I am, you know, I've been a lawyer for a long time, and it certainly, you know, helps pay the bills. And I think I have to make a big decision. I love writing so much that I would love to shift one day. But I think for now it's a little bit like, let's see kind of what happens, you know, let's see what happens with my next book or two. And then maybe, you know, pull back or make a shift. I work in house. So, like I work for a company now instead of at a law firm, which helps because I'm sure you all know about like billable hours and everything like when you're a lawyer. So at least I don't have that aspect. But I mean, I'm pretty, you know, much in a corporate job. So it's definitely tough. That's been very tough because I also, you know, I have my kids and I have other responsibilities. So just like really finding the time to write and, you know, and then be present. And certainly the marketing of the book is a whole other thing that you don't even know about when you get into this. So I've been like, you know, learning as I go.
Do you have another book brewing like outside of this story in your head?
Yeah, I have, you know, it's funny. I like have a lot of ideas and I like keep, it's almost like how I was before I started this book, like over the years where I would just like start and then stop. I really need to get serious, I think. But it's funny. I think when you go into writing a book for the first time, you don't have any external pressure. You know, it's really, for me, I was just doing it for me, you know, and I wanted to, and I wanted to see if I could kind of. So now it's like, you know, I have a book out there and you want to deliver, you know, as good a book as you deliver the first time. And you want to, you know, and I have an agent and there's just a lot more pressure that I feel that I didn't feel the first time around. So it's really just a matter of kind of like sitting down and making, you know, making sure I'm happy with what I'm going to be committing to writing and then doing it.
Did you have a character in this book that was your favorite to write about?
I mean, I was definitely very tied to Rachel. The story centered very much around her. I chose to write, you know, close third person so you could really know what's going on in her head. I certainly related to her the most. So she was, yeah, it was definitely, and I was really curious to see how she would, you know, like, how she would like round out, you know, and as a mom, I very much, I mean, I identified with her. Obviously she identified with me, you know, those feelings you have for your kids and just, you know, being so like, so the balance of wanting to do your best and, you know, be there for them and also, you know, manage the rest of your life at the same time.
I was mad at Alex for keeping that from her, though.
Yeah.
That he wanted to get back together. Like, I was like, Alex, because then, like, everything could have been different.
I know. And I've heard, yes, I think Alex didn't do the right thing. But I've in some conversations, heard people, you know, make the perspective, like, she thought she was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But I totally hear you. And I've also heard, you know, that she forgave Alex too quickly. Mm. But like for me, which I thought was interesting. And for me, I was like, she'd been betrayed right and left. And she just needed her best friend, you know, and she just, and, you know, she needed her. She just needed that she needed to move forward. So it's so fascinating, like, hearing what people think. They read your book and then, you know, have opinions. But I think I love it. I think it's so fun to hear what, you know, what people think, what you could have done, you know, differently, or, you know, explored more.
I mean, that has to be so fun to be the person that wrote about all these people and then to have all these people having, like, opinions about your people. Like, these are your people.
Yeah.
You created them.
Right. They were in my head. Like, they're not real. It is. It's wild.
I'm going to let, if anybody has questions, and no pressure, if you don't, that's fine. I am happy to wrap up with into podcast questions, but I would love if you guys have any questions for you to be able to ask Jessica yourself.
So in my work, I do a lot of writing too, but it is also very, very technical. How is the process different between writing, like, fiction or, like, a story, a narrative like this versus what you do kind of on the day-to-day?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. I mean, it's obviously also, it's really different. You know, when you're writing a legal brief, you're really, like, trying to just, like, make your strongest point in the beginning. Like, there's no secrets in a legal argument. Like, you want to, like, put it all out there, and you want to be, you know, as succinct as possible. And there, it's just a totally different way of communicating. But in some ways, I think it helped me a lot, because, like, when you're a lawyer and you're used to having to make, you know, put forth your best work product, right? So, like, I was used to, you know, senior partners editing my work and me being like, okay, like, it, you know, if that's the best way. So when I went into my editing process, like, I was, I think, a lot less precious probably about some of the editing and I really enjoyed what, like, I do when I write briefs. Like, I love the part. I love going back in and making things better. You know, a little bit like the puzzle of it all. So I think it worked to my advantage. The style of writing is so different, but the feel of it. And also, being a lawyer, you know, I'm very used to, like, being on deadlines and being fast and, like, needing to, like, you know, just be focused. And so I wrote really quite fast because of that. You know, it was very much like I knew I had to get it in when I could. And, you know, I really just, like, was very much, like, full steam ahead on all of it. So, but that's a good question. I mean, it's totally different, and it's a lot more fun to write fiction, of course. I highly recommend it.
Does anybody else have any questions?
Lindsay, this is Joanna. I have a question for Hi. Jessica. Hi.
Hi.
Jessica, you sort of have touched on this a little bit already in terms of, like, how the process unfolded. Would you say, being a first-time author, like, did it kind of unfold the way you thought in terms of getting an agent and then pitching to a publisher? Did you go that traditional route, or did you look at a couple of different options for publication? And then follow-up to that is, how are you finding the marketing part of this? Is that fun or not as fun?
Those are great questions. I, you know, for me, because I think there was a certain naivete about writing my first book and not knowing, you know, until I, like, accosted Annabelle and made her be my friend. Like, I didn't really know anything about the literary world. So I had hoped that I would publish in a more traditional way. I didn't really feel a need at that time when I was sort of starting this process, once I'd finished the book and I was starting to look for an agent and then ultimately look for a publisher to self-publish, because I was sort of like, this is for me, and we'll, you know, so, and I think people have a lot of success with that, but I had it in my mind that I wanted to go the traditional route. So I had a lot of success finding an agent. I think finding an agent can be very challenging, but part of it was luck. Part of it is living in New York and knowing people who knew people and just getting myself in front of a few agents that potentially would represent someone with a book like mine. And so I did find my agent quite quickly, and that was, which was fantastic, because you really need an agent on your team if you want to publish traditionally. And so then we went out to publishers, and I actually had a much harder time, for as easy a time I had getting an agent, the actual finding a publisher. And your agent does that. It's called going out on submission. You guys may know this. And you're really just like sending, your agent is sending your book out to editors who they think might want to edit your book. And they have to love it so much because they spend, you know, they have to be willing to spend like a year on you. And so I got a bunch of rejection, which sucked because I thought that, you know, since I got an agent so fast, I would get my book out there immediately. You know, but it was good for me because I think, you know, in retrospect, because I think it taught me a lot about how challenging this process is. As I've gotten to know authors, there are so many novelists who have, you know, written multiple books before their first one is published. So I did, by all accounts, have like a really good, you know, first out of the gate experience. And then, but because I was getting rejection, I ended up pulling the book and writing and doing an edit. Like I really wanted him. I felt like there was something that needed to be, and it just needed to be stronger. And then after that, we were able to get it sold. So, you know, the process is, I think I've learned that like, it's just so tough. There's so much that goes into it. And then when I sold my book, the book didn't come out for another year and a half. So that was the other thing. Like, I'm not used to being so patient. And it took, you know, it takes a long time. And it's a lot of waiting around and, you know, working through parts of it and then, you know, going through different edits and back and forth. So that was just like tricky and tough. You know, it's just a totally different way to work. If you're a lawyer and you're used to like emailing and then you get an email back and then, you know, you go to a meeting and then you come to a resolution. It's just a very different way of working. So it was a great learning experience. But as far as the marketing piece, I think that's a really interesting question because from what I understand, things used to be very different. Like it used to be, you know, that, and I'm sure it's still this way for some authors, but if you're a debut author or a newer author or even just like a mid-list kind of author, like you have to do so much of the marketing on your own. So I really have had to put myself out there in a way that I was very much unprepared for. And I I like talking to people. I think it can be so hard, and a lot of writers are for sure introverted. So it must be so challenging, and I'm so sympathetic because no one's going to read your book if they haven't heard of it. And so, you know, I really had to put myself out there. I had to make connections to not only, you know, to authors, to people on Instagram that review books. I really haven't mastered TikTok at all, but like, you know, to try to figure that out. So you really are doing a lot of work and calling on any favor you possibly can to see if your book can get in front of certain people. So it's been an amazing, amazing experience for me, but it definitely has been more challenging and like in this part than I anticipated.
Yeah. How did you decide? Like, I always say that about podcasting because I feel like when I started my podcast, I was like in everybody's face about it because I so desperately wanted it to grow so that it could be my job instead of my hobby. And at some point I just realized like, okay, if you think what you're doing is good work and you're proud of it, like you're not going to be embarrassed to promote it. But then sometimes this like self-promotion thing feels icky. So like, how did you overcome that and just be like, I'm all in, I'm doing it, I'm trying to get this everywhere?
No, I think I'm still in that occasionally feeling icky. Like most of the time I recognize that this is the only way. And so I don't have a choice and I have to step outside my comfort zone. I recently, like I'm in a Facebook group, and I recently posted about my book, like once a month, they have a day where you can sort of do like a self-promotion. And I was like, for months I'd been thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to do it. And I really had to like, and I felt like very, it felt uncomfortable. And then the response was so supportive and fantastic. And I do think women want to see each other, you know, succeed. My friends and my network has been incredible. I mean, my parents and their friends, it's like, so it's really, we have to, you know, be our best, you know, our loudest advocates, our own loudest advocates. And so it's not easy, but I am happy with the book. I do feel like people, if they read the book, they'll hopefully enjoy it. And so, you know, I've had to do it. And every once in a while, I do still feel that ick. But I'm so glad, you know, that I'm doing it, because otherwise, you know, like, what's the point? You know, like, I didn't want to just, you know, meme my mom and my sister read the book. I want, like, you know, I want it out there in the world. So.
Wait, was anybody else wondering when she said she made an edit what it was? Are you allowed to say?
Oh, I mean, they're so, like, it's so, that's funny. I mean, I definitely made nothing major. I will say that in the first, when I first, you mean like when I kind of revamped
it a
little
bit? Yeah, you said you had to like take it home and edit it. Yeah. I'm well, like, what did she change?
I think one thing that doesn't, and I mean, going back to Alyssa's question about like the writing style, like I got plot down, but character development is tough. And like really digging deeper into these characters, you know, I had to do that. The Alex character, like I remember handing the book, like my sisters read the book and they were like, they knew about Alex. Like they got where I was going with that. And I was like, that shouldn't be that way. So I like really tried to like, you know, expand on their relationship and try to make her, you know, absence a little bit more believable, a little bit more of a mystery, but also like I wanted, you know, to get to, you know, get to that point. And I think it's really just, I also added chapters, like that Thanksgiving scene chapter was like, I don't know if you remember when she goes to the parade at Jack's apartment.
And he hurts her feelings.
I really like that chapter, and I wrote it so late in the book.
Oh, like, interesting.
Yeah,
because that chapter was the reason she was like, oh, he's not into me because of that comment.
I made Jack a little too perfect at first because he was like the ultimate fantasy.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, he might have some flaws, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
The editing process is wild. Having read, you know what, we've all read so many books. Like imagine reading like the first draft, like it's probably so different. And that was the greatest thing about the class that I took. It was a first draft novel writing course through Gotham Writers Workshop. And the real goal of the class was just to like power through a first draft and not edit along the way. And I thought that was like for someone like me, like, you know, like you could get so caught up in making it perfect and then you never get off the first chapter. So like anybody who's thinking about writing, I thought that was just like excellent advice. Just if you realize that there's like a brother halfway through the book, throw the brother in halfway through the book and fix it later. I love that. I thought that was great advice.
Oh, that's really good advice. I never thought about it like that. Were there any edits that hurt your feelings?
No, there was, it's funny. I mean, again, being, you know, like, because I'm a lawyer and used to like, you know, I felt pretty okay about it, but I did have one like sex scene between Rachel and Dan. I think I still had like a mini one, but it was like a little more graphic. And my editor wrote like too much information. And I was like, oh my God, I'm striking that there. I was like, I can't, I don't want to edit it. I want to just like, I was so embarrassed. And I thought she was totally right.
That's good. That's funny. Does anybody else have other questions? Okay, Melissa, go.
Okay, I guess I just wanted to say that I haven't read it yet because it didn't sound super light to me because I get like very emotional with characters and I was like the one that got away, but she's married to someone else. I'm like, this doesn't sound like it's like, you know, like it sounds like this is going to be emotional, you know? And so it's interesting to hear you talk about how, you know, you had sort of an idea, but then it also like unfolded as you went along. And maybe also the idea that you were like, you know, you're writing like Rachel's story. So I was just wondering, you know, so maybe if I had one character to root for, then I could read it without feeling like so emotional. I mean, that's probably what I'll try. But I was wondering if you like, is that how you got started with like you had this idea of the Rachel character and then you built around that or how did that work for you?
I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think that it is a book that you may feel things, but you'll be fine. Like, you know, like it's because I think it's like meant, it's, it's not like fluff, I don't think. I hope not. But, you know, it definitely, you know, it's about a woman in her 40s who is going through like a lot of crap, you know, like she's got a job and children and a marriage that's fine but not great. And so and she used to date this famous celebrity who, you know, she maybe is a little bit interested in, but he's so far removed from her life. And then she's unexpectedly, you know, reunited with him. And then this, so for me, like the seed, so part of this is wanting to write a book that, you know, certainly wanting people to feel like to identify and relate to a story about a woman in that stage of life. But the drama component of it, the idea of her dating a celebrity is because someone in my life dated a celebrity years in high school. And I found it really I think it's so fascinating. I'm not really connected to this guy, but I'm connected to an ex of his. So I'm like, how could he not? Like, it just, I was like spitball. I'm like, sell the photos, get the, you know, like, and then I was like, oh, there you go. What a great idea for a book. So that was like the seedling of the idea. And I really just like latched onto it. I mean, you need like a really good hook with these kinds of books. So I thought that was just a really fun thing to explore.
Good. And thank you. Thank you for telling me I'll be okay.
You will be okay. And I live so close to you, Melissa. And I have a few local events if you want to come and check out my website.
I will definitely check out your website.
Yeah. Melissa, I had never thought of it like that, but you do bring up a good point. And when I say it's a light, easy read, Jessica, I hope that doesn't offend you when people say that.
No.
Okay, good.
No. It's meant to be an easy read. I think. Yes. I think we are, many of us are looking for that, you know. I think that their books can be easy to read and relatable and, you know, fast paced and also make you think. And, but I think I get it too. Cause I just read The Women, and by Kristen Hanna, and it was so terrific.
Okay.
But I felt so emotional reading it, and it like kept me up at night, and I would recommend it to anybody. It was so beautifully done, and it was it really dove into something that I was really unfamiliar with, the Vietnam War and women who were there as nurses, and it was really fabulous. But I felt it like every night, like I couldn't sleep because I was like in a war zone. That's how I felt. So I think, you know, I get that feeling. You can really like, books can really just like seep in.
Yeah. Leave it to Kristen Hanna. She's always got the like timepiece books.
Yes. She's fantastic.
I don't even know what book I'm reading right now on my Kindle. You know when you're reading a book on your Kindle and you're like, I don't even know what book this is because like you don't see the title ever?
Yes.
But the guy's a serial killer and I'm like, I gotta stop reading this before bed. And if I knew it was gonna get this graphic, I would have never picked it up. But I'm like, I gotta finish it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You just like get so in it.
I have a quick question. I'm interested to hear the writing process, if how you juggled being a mom, being a lawyer, doing the writing. I know some authors sometimes go to a retreat and where they're in solitude and they can write. Did you do something like that?
I didn't, and I want to so badly, but it's so hard to do. So when I started writing the book, it was during COVID, and I was working from home 100%. And so it allowed me like, I don't commute too far, but it really like allowed me to bookend my days with writing. And also, you know, like at lunch, if I took a lunch, I could just sort of squeeze it in. And I've made that, I've gotten in the habit of trying to do like on the weekends, like at least one day, and now I'm trying to get back into it. So I like this past Saturday, I was like, I'm writing. The kids are your responsibility, I said to my husband. So like, you know, it's finding that time. This summer, my daughters both go to sleepaway camp. So I am, which is wonderful. And they love it so much. So they're not here. And I am planning to really try to buckle down this summer. and focus, because, you know, really my evenings will be free in a way that they aren't right now.
How long do they go to sleepaway camp for?
Oh, it's 7 weeks. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. It's awesome. They love it. I did it as a kid, so, but I think people are like horrified. You send your kids. It is the best. They love it. They learn so much. They're independent. I love sleepaway camp.
And if you did it as a kid, you know what, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's so cool. All right. So I always wrap up my podcast with some into podcast questions. So we'll roll them with you.
Yeah.
What is something professionally or personally you haven't done that you'd like to do?
I'd like to write a second book.
Love it. Do you have a trip or a place that you've gone with your family that you would like to share about that we should try?
Oh, sure. Well, we are actually going to Mexico in a week, which I'm very excited for because I need a vacation. But, you know, we often travel to Florida, which is where both of our – I'm in New York, and my parents and my husband's parents are there. And it's just so special, but it's more family-driven. We're talking about going to Europe with the kids, so I would like to do that. I need to make sure we're ready.
What's the best, most recent book you've read?
Well, I mentioned The Women, which was whew. You know what I loved? Listen for the Lie. It's the current GMA book club pick, and it's a thriller, which I really enjoy thrillers. Like they're for me, those are like a total escape. So it's really fast paced and it's twisty, but it's not overly, you know, graphic or anything. It's like just like a really fun, well-written book.
Who are some of your favorite? I was going to say the name of Sherry Lapina has good, like, thriller books. Who are some of your favorite, like, thriller authors?
Well, I would read anything this woman, Amy Tintero, writes. That was her book. There's a book that's coming out soon by Corinne Jade called The Astrology House that I'm really looking forward to. This is a little different. I've enjoyed Blake Crouch writes sort of science fiction, Dark Matters, like an amazing book, and I like all of his books. And like you, I'd have to look at my Kindle and like remind myself what I've read. But there are so many good. Those are like, I can't get enough of them. Anytime I'm in a reading slump, which is unusual, but like if I like just need something where I know I'm going to just like get sucked right in, it's definitely a thriller.
I looked it up. I opened up my Goodreads. The book I was talking about, in case anybody wants to make sure they don't read it. It's called Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter.
Oh, yeah. I think I read that.
Has anybody read it?
I don't really remember. I've read a few of her books. That's funny. I should open up my Kindle.
I was like, this is getting to be too much. Did you feel that way, Debbie? Oh my gosh. I just was like, wait a minute. We didn't have to go there, but now I can't finish it. The other last thriller I read was Then She Was Gone by Lisa Jewell.
Oh, yeah. I like that too.
She's got good thriller books. It's so interesting. I usually do my thriller books on the Kindle for some reason because I think I like to read them on the treadmill. But I also like to do books like Love Me, like romantic comedy or like – what category would you call the book?
It's a big mystery. It can be it's romance / women's fiction / book club fiction. So, but I think it's marketed mostly as romance or rom-com-y.
Yeah, because I think what I asked Annabelle was, do you have a romantic comedy you could recommend? And she said, maybe not so much romantic comedy, but like The One That Got Away, Celebrity, like she like really wrapped it up in like a really quick, easy pitch. She's like your natural saleswoman.
I'll send her some flowers.
I always wrap up with your last message to leave with the audience. I didn't prep you for that, but do you have one?
Well, obviously it's so great to talk to people who've read my book or who are considering reading my book. I'm excited to have put something out in the world that hopefully speaks to, to women like me who are at this stage of life and feel like represented in a book, because I think sometimes, like, you know, with romance books, it's a little bit either it trends younger or, you know, you're it's a little more of a fantasy. And I think, you know, for me, it's like I think we all feel a lot of these feelings and can be struggling. So I hope people who read my book feel seen and appreciated. So and that's that's kind of the message.
All right, friends, thanks for being here today. Thank you, Jessica, for hopping on for the podcast and for book club. If we can continue to get authors on the show, I know Annabelle Monahan is going to pop on for a book club with us, and she's up for another podcast as well. She is the author of Nora Goes Off Script, and I picked her new book that's coming out this summer for our June book club. That book is called Summer Romance. I'm really excited about it. So she's got Nora Goes Off Script, same time next summer, and then those are already out, and then available June 4th. This is our June pick. Her new book, Summer Romance, will be out, and that's going to be our June book club pick. All right, friends, thanks for being here today. I hope you enjoyed the show. We've got some great episodes coming up in the future. You can learn more about me. LindseyHine.com is my personal website. The podcast and the Sandy Boy Network is SandyBoyProductions.com. Find me on Instagram, LindseyHine626. Thank you, Emma Benner, for editing this podcast. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.